Sorry for slightly late starting this morning's meeting. Welcome to this meeting of the Leicester Subcommittee, being held here in the Civic Offices. I am Councillor Angela Loughran and I am chairing this morning's meeting. And on my right is Councillor Reid, on my left is Councillor Jamie Barron. And I'll now go around the room and ask people for what please introduce themselves.
Good morning, I'm Jim Dean from Democratic Services at Stafford Borough Council.
Good morning, Councillor Anne Angela.
Morning, Councillor Marnie Phillips, ward member for the area.
Morning, Warren Sami, I'm deputy.
Good morning, Brother Buckeye, solicitor.
Brother Buckeye.
Buckeye.
Thank you.
Good morning, Julie Wallace, licensing manager.
Lisa Taylor Graham, solicitor and advisor to the council.
Thank you for that. Can I ask you all to make sure that any telephones that you have are switched off for the start of the meeting? And I'll call on the licensing officer to introduce the applicants to the case to you. Thank you.
Good morning. This application is for a variation to the premises licence previously the Co-op store, now Morrison's Daily at 4-12 Farmdown Road, Bassage, Stafford. On the 5th of February 25, the council received an application for a full variation of a premises licence, now known as Morrison's Daily, situated at 412 Farmdown Road, Bassage, Stafford, again, which was previously a Co-op convenience store. The premises licence transfer from the Co-op took place on the 3rd of February 2025. The designated premises supervisor, DPS, transfer took place on the 4th of Feb 25. The application was submitted via an agent, Tina Flavik, from Winkworth Sherwood LLP. The proposed premises licence holder is Sami, am I pronouncing that correctly? Sami or is it Sami?
Sami,
County Limited, Arbour 255 Blackfriars Road, London. The proposed designated premises supervisor is Saranvanakumar, Selva Kumar, who resides at 31 Attle Street, Middlesbrough. It is unclear as to how the DPS can undertake the responsibilities of a DPS of the day-to-day management of this Morrison's Daily whilst living in Middlesbrough. The variation is for the following: to extend the sale of alcohol to between the hours of 0000 and 2400 daily for the consumption of the premises, therefore open 24 hours a day. To allow the provision of late night refreshment between the hours of 2300 and 0500 daily. This point requires some clarification as the application is stating that the provision of late night refreshments is going to take place both indoors and outdoors, but there is no provision to eat indoors in this convenience store. They've also requested to remove the current license, the current conditions of the license listed at Annex 2, and they want to include Annex 2, the conditions stated in boxes B to E of section 16 of the application. There has been 7 relevant representations during the consultation period from local residents and 2 ward councillors who are concerned as to the potential impact of noise from this store being open 24 hours a day, from both vehicles and from those who are purchasing the alcohol, stating that there is nowhere for purchasers to consume their alcohol, so are likely to wander around the area drinking and creating unnecessary noise or rowdy behaviour causing a public nuisance. Their concerns include not only noise but antisocial behaviour from the extensive opening hours and the sale of alcohol. The objections relate to 2 of the licensing objectives, the prevention of public nuisance and the prevention of crime and disorder. There have been no objections from any of the responsible authorities, although conditions have been agreed with Environmental Health, which is stated in the report. As part of the process, it came to light upon reviewing the representations that concerns have been raised about the premises trading 24/7, and looking into the transferred licence, it clearly states that the opening hours are from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Therefore, the expectation from the public is the premises should be shut from that time. On this basis, and from intelligence received into the EH licensing inbox, that alcohol was being sold after 10 p.m. The senior licensing enforcement officer visited the premises, followed by a further visit by a licensing officer. However, neither was sold alcohol, and it was confirmed they were trading 24/7. EH licensing were later contacted by Councillor Peter Edgler, informing that a purchase of alcohol was made after 10 p.m. He subsequently provided a statement. The documents relating to the application are all obviously in your bundle, and all the appendices are attached. The recommendation is that the licensing subcommittee considers the application for the variation to this premises license and considers whether to grant the variation as applied for or whether to add or amend conditions as deemed appropriate, taking into account the representations before you.
Thank you very much. And then I'm assuming that you all have an order of the procedure. The procedure was moved to follow during the meeting. You've got that with you?
Yes. Can I just ask a couple of questions?
Well, you get your turn to ask questions. We're having the present, if you look at the order of the proceedings, you see that the licensing officer wasn't attached to the agenda.
It's the final page, Chairman.
Sorry?
The last page.
Last page.
So this can copy that.
On the very back page.
Yeah, sorry, I normally have the opportunity to ask questions of the licensing officer.
If you turn down to the back page, that's
I'll wait for my turn.
You will have
Chairman will introduce licensing officer and licensees. Any person submitting will have an opportunity to present these for their representation. So there's no opportunity for me to ask questions of the licensing
officer. There will be.
When is that?
Under four.
No, that's after each submission. Sorry, you would normally. I'm not trying to be difficult. Normally, the licensing officer presents their report. There is an opportunity to ask questions of the licensing officer about that report. That's all I'm asking.
I don't think there's a problem with that. If you want
good.
To ask,
I've just got a couple of questions. Well, first of all,
it depends on the questions.
I'll try and ask questions that you agree to allow me to ask. So I didn't catch the names of the councillors who are interested parties.
We're the ward councillors for the area.
The Bassage Ward.
Right, could I just take the names, please?
Yes,
my name is Anne Edgler, spelt without an E.
Right,
Anne without an E.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm Councillor Marnie Phillips.
Marnie Phillips.
And our information will be on.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
In your pack, and obviously on the recording as well.
Okay, and can I just ask, because of the order in which you mentioned the visit, there were three visits. There was a visit from. It will be very confusing for us, and please
okay,
bear with me, because there was a visit from a councillor, Edgar, which I believe is not you.
He sent his apologies.
That was made as a member of the public, am I correct?
Yep.
He is a councillor, but he made it as a member of the public,
well,
I understand.
Right, but he's not here today, is he?
He's not.
He sent his apologies.
So he's put in a witness statement.
Yes.
For whom? Because he's not an interested party, he didn't make a representation. So I did try to raise these questions in advance. If an interested party can put in a
anyone can put in a comment.
No, that's not correct. That's not correct. So there is a process. So an application is lodged, and then there is a period of 28 days for people to make representations. Those people who make representations can submit additional information. But you can't have somebody else putting in a representation outside of that. It's completely wrong.
It's not a representation.
What is it?
It's a witness statement of information that came to light. And as it previously explained, it was disclosed out of courtesy.
No, but I'm sorry, but this councillor has not made a representation. And so it's completely wrong to accept a second, and in fact his witness statement doesn't even say he's a councillor and doesn't say that he's doesn't state his address. I called Jim to ask, well, who are these people who have gone in, and Jim didn't feel able to tell me who they were and suggested that I speak to Lucy. So I spoke to Lucy, having googled each of the individuals and established that one was a councillor and two were licensing officers, but you'll see on those statements there's no information about who they are other than their name or their address or their position. So you can understand why we've been a bit confused. But the witness statement from Councillor Edgler shouldn't be permitted, because he's not an interested party. That is basic licensing procedure. And Lucy may want to take a few minutes to consider this, but there is a process. If you make a representation, you can then put additional information. The licensing hearing regulation is quite clear about that. The party that has made a representation can add, put additional information in. But you can't have the day before a hearing, or 2 days before a hearing, a new party putting in information. It's completely wrong. And I've also just been a bit puzzled, and again I asked Lucy about this, because the councillor Edgeler, who went in, didn't reveal in his statement that he was a councillor. He is named on the front page of the committee report as being one of your committee.
No, he's not.
So AP Edgeler.
That's me.
That's why I'm confused. Right, okay. So it's all a little bit difficult. if you're
I think in actual fact, if you look, you will actually see that the submission from Peter Edgeler was in actual fact made on the 4th of March, right? And following that submission, our licensing officer, and she states clearly she is a licensing officer, you say that Canadians can state who they are, but our licensing officer, Katie McKinney, in her statement, states that she is in actual fact a licensing officer, tells you for how long she has been a licensing officer, and she called on the 7th of March.
No, with respect, the statement doesn't say.
Can you let me finish, please? And she notes that she called on the 7th of March, which is after the date of the submission from Peter Edgeler.
Right. Can we have a look at then Katie McKinney's statement, page 4, that's submitted? It doesn't say that she was a licensing officer.
It doesn't say what?
The first statement doesn't. There was a correction statement that was done and it was served this morning.
Yeah, so I've received the correction statement this morning, but the statement that Katie put in for these proceedings didn't say that she worked for the council, didn't say that she's a licensing officer, didn't have an address. I called Jim, I said, who is Katie McKinney? Jim said, well, I can't tell you, you need to speak to Lucy.
Why did you phone and ask who Katie McKinney was?
Because it's highly unusual.
Because you saw this statement. Because on this statement it says what Katie...
You've got the wrong statement.
Can I intervene?
You've got the wrong statement, Councillor.
Right, can I just intervene, because we're getting way off track, mindful of the time constraints that we have for committee hearings. In relation to the issue you raised, the request was made for the officers to issue additional statements to clarify the concerns that you had. The witness statements are provided not as representations or anything else, but as I said, there was a report that was received regarding non-compliance with alcohol licensing that is being disclosed as a matter of courtesy to save having to come back for any potential breach.
Right, but I think in the report, I think the order of events have got a bit confused in the report.
The only reason this was done, which was, as Lucy's referred to, was a common courtesy, because obviously this was received from Councillor Peter Edgeler into the Yates licensing inbox, I felt that regardless, I agree, it's not part of the reps, but I just felt that it was necessary to just put a statement as to the events that occurred. Katie McKinney, as a senior licensing enforcement officer, had also picked up on the representations, was also, and based on the intelligence she was receiving, felt that there was an issue with the opening times, so went up. So we just followed up in licensing. It wasn't a representation, but obviously all we're doing is just covering ourselves by just producing a statement as to of what occurred. Nothing more.
Okay, my submission, and for the record, my submission is that Councillor Edgeler's statement should not be part of these proceedings, and I would ask please that you take specific advice from your legal advisor, so we have for the record the reasons why you are admitting a statement from a party who is not an interested party to these proceedings.
Statement is is provided as a result of the disclosure that there may have been non-compliance with the alcohol licensing. Because we are here as a committee, out of courtesy, to save the applicant having to come back in relation to a call in for a potential breach of a licence, he has the opportunity today to explain if there's been any issues.
Well, we can do that anyway, but that's not in accordance with the hearing regulations and the licensing act. I'm sure you'll acknowledge that. Putting in a submission by a non-interested party as much a courtesy is not allowable.
It's not a submission, though.
A witness statement.
In connection with the licensing investigation that went on following the intelligence receipt.
Well, we weren't even aware of a licence investigation. Nobody had the courtesy to inform us that there were concerns. So the first we knew about it was in with these proceedings, the three statements came in as a complete surprise to us. It seems that Councillor Edgar went in on the 4th of March, then the licensing, senior licensing officer went in on the 5th of March, and another licensing officer went in on the 6th of March, and we were given the three statements, and that all came as a surprise to us. It's not the way that licensing authorities and officers would normally conduct their business. We need to get on to the substantive part of the application.
Of course we do.
But if I can just finish, because in those statements there were untrue stuff. There are untruths in those statements, and it was really concerning.
I'm sorry, wasn't aware you were questioning the truth of the statement.
Well, I was going to come on to that in a little while.
Well,
that's why you've got the retraction statements and apologies in the second statement. It's a very serious matter. So putting in a statement that's untrue, incorrect, is an offence.
I don't really follow what you're saying about a statement being untrue. Which statement are you claiming is untrue?
Councillor, may I suggest that we pause the meeting?
That's fine.